So Scottish evangelist John Harper received a call to go be the pastor of Moody Church. A few years before this happened, his wife had passed away, but he had a young daughter. And in 1912, he and his daughter got on a ship and set sail from England to New York City, where he would then travel to Chicago and take a post at one of the most historic churches in our country. But the ship that he got on was the Titanic. And as you know, in the middle of the night, an iceberg struck, and the water started pouring in. He immediately took his daughter and placed her in a lifeboat, and then began running up and down the corridors, helping anybody find a lifeboat while he was preaching Christ to them. He gave his own life jacket away and made sure as many people as he can, and what he was hollering was, women, children, and the unsaved in the lifeboats. In other words, calling Christians, if you were a follower of Jesus, get out of the lifeboat, you know where you're going, let somebody who doesn't know Christ crawl in. When the ship went down, he grabbed a board and started being tossed to and fro. And everybody he came in contact with, he would holler out, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? Came upon one man who said, I do not believe that I am. And his response was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. With which a wave pushed him away from this man and then pushed him back a few minutes later, and he looked at him and said, have you believed in Jesus yet? Are you a believer? And the man said, no, I have not yet believed. And he said again, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Trust in Christ, my friend. And the wave pushed him away. A few minutes later, John Harper froze, descended, lost his life in the icy waters of the Atlantic. But that man, a few years later, began to testify that he was John Harper's last convert. He was one of six people who were saved out of the water. Sovereign hand of God allowed the story to be told of the evangelist John Harper. We're talking this Christmas about the fact that we have a great story. This Christmas story is unbelievable, and we're in a world who loves stories. If you don't believe that, just check out the box office numbers for Star Wars this weekend, okay? And yes, we are in, and I cannot believe that they... Some of you got a little nervous there, I know. Hey, what are you doing? Why do we do that? Because we love stories. We love redemption stories. We still love light and dark stories. We love stories that have something that says, man, there's something worth living for. And the reason that is true is because deep on the inside of us, we know these things are real. The Star Wars universe doesn't quite get the truth of them, but we love, like, our whole culture loves stories that are redemption stories, that are stories of light winning and darkness being pushed back. And we have the ultimate story. And here at Christmas, people are interested in it. They're singing songs and they're into this idea of the baby Jesus, although they have kind of domesticated the baby Jesus into a cute little story. But we know the true story. And this is what I find is that, first of all, I struggle with the weight of this. There's three things I want to point out that just go on the inside of me. First of all, I don't really believe in the urgency of the moment. I don't really believe that I am possibly in the icy waters of the North Atlantic talking to people whose eternal destinies hang in the balance. I don't think about that, and I don't really believe it. I also don't find myself really believing in the power of the Holy Spirit, that God is already at work in the world around me, and if I will just seek opportunities to join what he's doing, God will use me in great ways. And so I don't really believe that that's really going on. So I get terrified that if I say something, I'm going to freak them out, offend people, they won't like me anymore, they're going to distance themselves from me, right? You share that with me? You with me here? And so what I'm actually claiming is I don't believe that God is able and willing to work in the hearts of my friends and neighbors. And if I would just be obedient, he might use me. And I don't believe what Paul said, that the gospel is the power of God and salvation. I'd rather talk about sports. And so this is just a great, like, a reminder for me and a reminder hopefully for us as a church that we have a great story, and Christmas is a great time to share that story. Just an encouragement to leverage that, to use the holidays. But beyond that, for the rest of this year and into 2018, to be thinking of ways to actually share our faith. But the big challenge comes with this. I know that in my lifetime, I would struggle with, okay, I get the idea that I'm supposed to share. What do I say? And over my years, I had opportunities several times to go through intensive evangelistic training times, like where I would literally take weeks at a time with a format and learn very specific ways to share the gospel and to tell my personal faith story and to interact with the story of Jesus so that I knew ways to lead people into a conversation, to have that conversation, to make the ask or to encourage people to place their faith in Jesus. And I did that a couple different ways. And I kind of came to the point where I'd been through several of these. I got a little frustrated with it and kind of came to this opinion for a while that I was rejecting like canned, memorized evangelistic approaches. Kind of went, you know, I just need to let the Holy Spirit lead and just trust in Him and just whatever He brings to mind, say that. And this is what I found. First thing I realized that I didn't really believe that because I didn't let the Holy Spirit bring anything to mind often. But when I did kind of, you know, you got that heart beating and the palms are all sweating. You get the sweat because you know you want to enter into this conversation, but you didn't know what to do. But I took the leap. And when I would start the conversation, what I found was that the Holy Spirit was leading me to use one of the canned approaches every time. In other words, I had memorized some scriptures and memorized some ideas and put those scriptures with those ideas. And what I found is that every time I sat down with somebody and actually shared the gospel, I would talk in church meetings about the fact that I just don't think we should teach these anymore because they're canned, you know. It doesn't leave room for the Spirit. But what I was actually doing in my practice was using something that somebody had invested in me so that when I had those opportunities, I actually had something to say. Does that make sense? So here's what we're doing this morning, okay? We're doing an evangelism training. I'm going to spend this morning trying to teach you how, if you can memorize four words, you can share the gospel. Okay? That's my goal this morning. It's just teach you four words, and then this all comes out of an evangelism approach that is available. We're going to tell you where the resources are. We're going to give you a couple of them. We're going to point you to a few of them and encourage you to kind of get really familiar with this so that all of a sudden you have that opportunity. The Holy Spirit will use you, but you're not going to go, I don't know what to say. You can just walk through the four words, unpack them, and whatever you have available at your fingertips, you could get that to the people and share them, okay? That's our goal this morning, is to really walk through this. If you have a Bible, I'm just going to kind of prompt this. Grab a Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This is the Christmas story. This is the part where Linus gets up and shares on stage. I heard something that is awkwardly funny and troubling this week, that apparently there was some organization that had the top 16 Christmas figures, and they did like a Sweet 16, like a, you know, versus. They got to the final like championship game, and the championship of the two most important Christmas figures were Linus and Jesus. And Linus won. I don't get that. Okay? But Linus would admit, hey, I defer to Jesus, because he gets up and he reads this or quotes this from memory on a stage in A Charlie Brown Christmas, verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. It says, in the same region there were shepherds out of the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, and here's the key phrase, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Do you get that? Listen, what we have is good news of great joy that is available to all people. Matters not what your background, matters not what your story, matters not how deep your failures are. We have good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. A rescuer has been sent, who is Christ the Lord. This is a sign to you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is well pleased. And I want you to hear this. The angels shared the gospel. They took the opportunity to say, man, I got good news of great joy. All people, Christ has been born. There's a Savior that's coming to the world. Look at the response. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. This is what I hope will happen out of this, that there will be stories of people who heard the good news of great joy for all people out of our lips and through our lives. And there will be people in Eureka and beyond that will say, when I heard it, I was drawn. I had to go find out if it was true. And like the shepherds, will leave rejoicing because they have met a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That's our hope, okay? And so we're going to invest this in you this morning. We're going to share this. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 call us to be the ones with beautiful feet. As Paul in Romans says, how then will they call them whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have never heard? And how will they hear without someone preaching? That's the call, right? And how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. We told you last week that last phrase is actually a quote from Isaiah 52, where it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good tidings to the mountains, the good news of the gospel to the mountains, that we are to go preach it on the mountaintop. And you know the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, is a reminder. It pulls the angel story into our story and reminds us that the gospel that is told to us in the Christmas story is an invitation to join the Great Commission. That it started with the pronouncement of angels, but now we get to echo what they said and go into our city, our town, our neighborhood, our families, our coworkers, and find ways to lovingly and with gentleness and respect share the gospel. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, that in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy. In other words, in your hearts determine that he is our only hope. The holiness of Christ is the only hope we have. He is separate. He is other. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and respect. We want to prepare you this morning so that you will be ready to give an answer, a defense, The Greek word is apologia. It's we get the word apologetics. In other words, you are able to articulate and defend the faith that you hold, but with gentleness and respect. We're not asking you to memorize a canon thing this morning and then turn into a holy idiot. But we are encouraging, like I'm at least encouraging me, that I need to be looking for opportunities and let the Holy Spirit use me. Now, here's what this is going. Next week is Christmas Eve, right? We're going to do a morning and an evening service. Evening service, invite your neighbors and friends, because the outline I'm about to give you, so just warning, I'm letting you know this now. When you come back next week, you're going to hear almost the same message as I'm about to do in the next few minutes, but I'm going to speak it to your neighbors and friends, primarily reminding them of the great story of the scriptures that is found in the four words I'm going to teach you. Don't bail because you're like, well, I heard it, okay? You come to worship Jesus, but use the invite cards we have and find ways to bring family and friends just to come prepare us for Christmas. But next Sunday morning, what I'm going to do is help us look to the next 12 months and try to give you at least 12 ideas in the coming year that you can use to build relationships for the cause of the glory of God and the kingdom and just to have friendships that God might use to share the gospel, okay? That's where we're going next Sunday. It'll be real practical, real down-to-earth, just, hey, and we'll even probably have a handout and that kind of stuff. But today, I want to tell you these four words. So here's the four words. I'll give them to you, and then we're going to walk through what each one means. And I'm just going to tell you how I articulate it. Listen, you come up with your own way of articulating it, of sharing it, but the big ideas, okay? Here's the four words. Creation. What's the first one? All right, creation. Fall. What's the second one? The third one is rescue. What's the third one? Restoration. All right, so all four. It is? Those four words. If you can memorize those four words, you have a framework to share the gospel. And if you've been around church a lot, you probably already kind of get the idea, okay? What we have here, what I am expressing to you, is the essence of the gospel story. In other words, the Bible, first and foremost, is a story. Often people read it and they think it's a rule book or they think it's some kind of list for how to live your life. It is not. It is God telling his story as he interacts with his people and invites them in. And the four ideas we just threw out are actually the four big themes of the biblical story. It's a story that you are telling the story. And that story culminates, comes to its head in Christ. And so let's just talk about it. First of all, we have the first word, which is? And what are we talking about? We're talking about the fact that it all begins with God, that there is one true and living God, and he is creator of heaven and earth, that God created everything, and his creation demonstrates his greatness, demonstrates his beauty. It demonstrates his ownership, which means if he made it, it is his. That includes you and me. It demonstrates that the fact that he is powerful and he created us in his image, which means there is something deep and beautiful inside of each and every one of us. And that's just a glorious, glorious thing that you were made for God, by God, to know God. And that because of this, everything that he made originally lived in harmony. There was not brokenness, there was not sickness, there was not sin, there was not decay, there was not disease. That the world functioned in wholeness and beauty. And it functioned wholeness and beauty because it rightly related to God. And we rightly related to God and our parents, Adam and Eve. And so that's the message of creation. And like I said, you don't have to articulate it like I can, but if you can remember the words, you can remember these ideas, these themes, the fact that it's God's world, he made it, that God exists, and that he is the creator of everything, and that our purpose comes from him, right? Which leads to the second word, which is the word fall, or the fall, okay? And the fall is a reminder that even though it was created in perfection, it didn't stay that way, right? And so what happened in the world? Well, our parents, the first two people, Adam and Eve, made a functional decision. They didn't want a God, they wanted to be God, and they chose to disobey God and turn their back on him. And as a result, both them, Adam and Eve, their relationship with God was severed. The harmony that was in the world was completely shattered and broken because everything that was under their control in the world is now affected by their decision. And the world is fragmented, it is broken, it is filled with need, and the outcome of this is the fact that we are both unable and unwilling to solve our own problem. We cannot fix ourselves. We cannot remedy the condition. I mean, every story that is out there and every political or religious or social experiment is a way that the world is trying to say, yes, we have a deep-seated problem, I'm going to teach you how to fix it. But none of them work. I can't fix me and I can't fix the world around me. There is something deeply broken, deeply fragmented, and we cannot come up with a solution because the world is severed. The relationship with God is broken. And what we need more than anything is for that relationship to be renewed, but I can't do anything about that because I am a person who not only did my parents sin, but the decision they made, I make the same decision every day. I choose to live my own way. And sin is what, in a very real way, apart from Christ, defines me, defines you. So sin has left us broken and fallen and fragmented. The wholeness is gone. And that is a huge issue for us. How can we ever overcome this? Well, the answer is that we need rescue. So what's the third word? We need rescue. We need somebody to come in and rescue me, rescue us when we can't save ourselves, when we can't rescue ourselves. And that's where God steps back in. God could have left us just where we are with no hope in this world apart from him. But God loves us so much that he started making promises. And even in the very first story of the Bible where Adam and Eve failed to honor God, where they disobeyed, as God was speaking to them, he made a promise that one day he would send one person into the world. And that person would come into the world and would be the one who would make what is wrong in the world right again. He would be the king who would be a different king. He would be the rescuer, the savior. And all through the Old Testament, there are these promises. All through the Old Testament, there are these promises of this one person who would come and make the world right, make the relationship with God renewed, to rescue us from our brokenness. And the promise made in the Old Testament became the promise that came true when at Christmas the angels announced the birth of a child who was God, who became one of us, who was totally God, totally man. And that man came into the world and he lived this perfect life. He healed people, he did all kinds of miracles, and he showed the love of God by caring for the broken and the outcast and the hurting of the world. And Jesus was the one who was promised. And he showed his identity by all the things that he did. But in the end, his message was not received by the people in power. And in the end, they chose to execute him. And Jesus Christ died on a cross. And when he died on that cross, it wasn't just the fact that he was dying because he was an innocent man who got caught up in a bad thing. He literally was paying the penalty for your sin and for mine. He was taking what we deserve. And Jesus died on the cross that day. But you know what? That's not the end of the story. 3 days later, the man who died, 3 days later, he rose again, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And the act of Jesus, what Jesus did by dying, living, dying, and rising again, is to rescue us. By trusting in Jesus, he can rescue us from our sin. Which leads to the fourth word, which is restoration. The promise that God will make everything right, will make everything new, and will help us be the people that we were supposed to be, that God will bring us back to himself, and we can have a relationship with God in this life that will lead to us being changed and transformed people. But ultimately, it is the promise for eternity to come, to always be with God, to be continually in relationship with him, to experience ultimate joy, ultimate peace, ultimate beauty, and the promise that this life is not all there is. And at that point in time, he will remove all the presence of sin, and it will just be all beauty and glory and joy. Those are the four words. Now, that's the way I might articulate it. I can imagine sitting with somebody around a table and just saying, hey, you know, getting in a conversation and say, do you mind if I tell you a story? It's the story that is in the scriptures. Would you care and say, hey, creation, this is the story. Fall, this is the story. Rescue, and this is what Jesus did for us, and restoration, this is where it leads, and just having this in a conversation. But along with that, the question is, how do you do it? Do you do just kind of cold turkey jump in? Well, that's awkward. Hey, let me tell you a story. Believe it or not, the materials that we have and has some good questions that one of the best ways to engage people is to ask questions and listen. And sometimes as Christians, as followers of Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus in the room, not listen with your response in mind, but just really hear people. To engage them in conversation, and then hope that the Lord opens opportunity for us to share the gospel. But there's some questions that could even go along with this. You think about the first word, which is? Yeah, help me out. The first word is? Very good. Here's a couple questions you might ask. The creation question raises the question, how did it all begin? Or you might ask this question, how do you think everything got here and why do we exist? You know, you just sit with somebody and say, hey, your opinion, how do you think we got here and why does, like, everything exist? And just hear them. What they're going to start doing is they're going to start articulating to you their worldview. You'll begin to understand their background, their story, what they functionally believe, okay? It will help you understand who they are, which is important. We're not going for, like, goals that end up with notches on our belt. We're going for a relationship that is authentic and loving, and we hear each other. And so you ask these questions. What's the second word? Fall. And with this one, the question that is kind of, it's answering is what went wrong? And this is a great question. So in your opinion, what's wrong with the world and how can it be fixed? And don't debate politics at this point, okay? Because you're going to get a political answer. On some level, you're going to hear, here's what's wrong with the world, and if we just get this fixed and we could just do this and we could save this and you know, baby whales and recycling, you know, we'd all be okay, right? That's not the core issue we need to interact with at this point in time. Hear them. Converse with them. The real answer to what went wrong is how it's fixed is that we are sinful people and it is our relationship with God that is severed. That's the core issue. Right? But you hear them. What's the third word? Rescue. Well, here's the question. It is answering this question, is there any hope? Or you can reframe that by asking this. How can we find hope and meaning in our lives? Let me ask you a question. How do you think we can find hope and meaning in our lives? And they will start, you know, hopefully if you're in a good conversation, they might start talking to you about, you know, doing good works or caring for somebody or having something worth living for, or, you know, that my kids give me meaning and hope or that it's my job and doing the best I can. And you know, ultimately what you will find is as they unwrap this, you can actually continue the conversation, help them realize that it's not really working out that great. Right? It doesn't really fulfill the way we want it to. Is there something greater than this? Is the way you can get into the conversation. What's the fourth word? You guys don't seem real sure. What's the fourth word? Very good. All right, we're getting there. All right. It's actually asking the question, what will the future hold? And, you know, this is kind of the morbid one, but you can ask this question. What do you believe will happen at our death? Now, people don't like to talk about this. And the old, I actually think the old form that this was, you know, and if you were to die tonight, do you believe you would go to hell? Right? It's probably not the best way to articulate this. Okay? But to ask somebody, you know, at some point in time when death happens, because listen, it is something that hovers over us, right? What happens after that? And again, listen, conversations. But these are four inviting questions that are tied to the four ideas that we're sharing with you that can help you just listen and engage people in conversation. That you could turn into questions. So I might go up to somebody and say, hey, you know, we're drinking coffee. I invite somebody to coffee. We're sitting at a table like this. I say, you know, hey, in your opinion, what do you think is wrong with the world and how do you fix it? And I'll hear this, you know, this response and, you know, all this sort of, this conversation. And yes, I'm looking for an opportunity, but who knows if it'll rise, and I'm not going to get pushy with it. But more likely that they will probably at the end of their answer, if I will listen and not always be cutting them off, say what? What do you think about that question? I'm glad you asked. Mind if I tell you a story? And it's just, you're creating conversation. You're not walking into situations just always trying to say, hey, I got to tell you something. I got to tell you something right now. It's dialogue and discussion, but you get into, you know that I'm a follower of Jesus, and let me explain to you why and how this matters to my life and all that sort of stuff. I think it's important to have your own faith story, whether it's the story of your conversion, how you met Jesus, or just elements of the fact that Jesus matters to you now, like your own personal experience is a part of this. And thinking through, you know, if somebody were to say, what gives you meaning in life? How could you articulate, you know, what really gives me, I love my kids, I love my family, they're wonderful, but man, what really gives me meaning is the fact that God has rescued me, and he has really reached deep into my soul, and he's changing me, all this is happening because Jesus died on the cross for me and I trusted in him, and it's just awesome. You know, finding ways to articulate those things in these conversations. And so what you have are these four words, which are are you getting it? Like, you getting it embedded in your head a little bit? Okay. Do you think you could take those four words and in your own words articulate the meaning of those four ideas? Okay, hopefully the answer is yes, and you're working on that. But what I want to tell you is that, like I said, this is the story of the Bible. This is the overarching story of the Bible. The story of the Bible, first of all, the Bible is a story, and the overarching story of the Bible is the story of God's creation, the fact that we have fallen, but God initiated a rescue mission that came true in the person of Jesus, and the promise of restoration. This is the big storyline of the Bible. Believe it or not, it is the storyline of every single story in the Bible. Jesus is walking with these two men after his resurrection, and he's talking to them, and they don't realize it's him. And he says something that is like for 7 mile walk. This is what he does. What the text of Scripture tells us, that on the road to Emmaus, Jesus told them everything in the Scriptures regarding himself. In other words, Jesus gave a hermeneutics lesson. What's hermeneutics? It's the science of studying Scripture. How do we know that our interpretation of Scripture is right? And here's the answer. If we figure out that everything in the Bible ultimately is about Jesus, we're going to figure the Bible out, okay? And so everything in the Bible is retelling this story. Now, some of the stories in the Bible, they're just awful. And you're like, how does this lead us to Jesus? And the answer is, all you got to do is read the story and go, man, these people are really screwed up. They need rescue, right? When you read, you know, people getting chopped up and thrown away, I mean, it's like you're just, these people are awful. Yes, if God does not step in and do something, there's no hope. It looks like our town daily. If God does not step in and rescue the city of St. Louis, there is no hope. If God does not step in and rescue Eureka and the greed and values that are here, there is no hope. We need rescue. And so sometimes the story is just purely to remind us that if God doesn't act, there's no hope. But other times the story that we have read is actually a casting of this story. And the problem we have is that if we grew up in churches that use cute little Bible story videos and flannel graphs, if any of you guys remember those, or Veggie Tales, what we did is we often took the Bible stories and turned them into moral tales. So here's David and Goliath, right? The story of David kills the giant, you know, and hits him in the head, forehead with a stone. And it's because here's this little 12-year-old kid. He had great faith, and he marched in the field and said, "You're fighting against God, but I'm coming to you in the name of God. You're going down." And man, if we would just have hope, and we would have faith, and we would believe, and we would have courage like David, that we could kill our giants. That is not what the story is about, folks. Let me tell you what the story is really about, okay? What's our four words? That story is about this, okay? And most of our learning, we were taught to identify with the wrong person in the story. We are not supposed to identify with David. Let me explain it. Here's the story of David, Goliath. God's people. Whose are they? What does that remind us of? They are his creation, remember? We're in a situation they could not remedy because they had an enemy that they cowered from, that they could not overcome, who was cursing their God, cursing them, but felt insurmountable. What's that a reminder of? The fall. But what did God do? God sent a rescuer. And nobody saw this rescuer coming, right? A little 12-year-old kid with pimples all over his face who couldn't even wear the armor because he like fell over, walks out with a sling. Right? Rescue. Defeats the enemy in the field of battle on behalf of the Hebrew armies and the Hebrew people, bringing them back to the place where they should be, which sounds like, do you see it? That's the story. Every story in the Bible is retelling creation, fall, rescue, restoration. Every story in the Bible is retelling this. And so it's like, this is just for you. This is not part of the, like, you should probably shouldn't have this conversation at the table because it'll confuse people. But this is just for you. Every story in the Bible follows that storyline, which means if I'm reading the David and Goliath story, who should I identify with? The Hebrew army who's terrified, who can't remedy their condition and needs a rescuer. That's who we are. If you want to find yourself, you're not David. David is Jesus in the story, okay? Get that? We're the Hebrew army who are cowering with our tail between our legs, freaked out at the moment, knowing we can't do anything about it. That's us. We needed a rescuer. It's the storyline of every story in the Bible. Oh, by the way, what are the four words? It is the story of every human life, or at least part of it is. There are only two stories in the world. There's the story of creation, fall, the end. Creation, fall, and follow some religion where you find your own pathway to rescue yourself is creation, fall. Creation, fall, and go through self-improvement courses and gain prominence and be known all over the world and have a power and publicity is creation, fall. Creation, fall, and obtain any accolades, or creation, fall, and live in obscurity and being self-justified because you don't have anything is still the story of creation, fall, the end. Or there's the story of creation, fall, rescue, restoration, because people have turned from themselves and trusted in Jesus. And they do that because they've heard. Right? And so these four words just give you opportunity, but there's all kinds of resources for you. And what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to hit these resources and show you what they are briefly and explain them to you, tools and resources. And we've already hit the idea that we can use just these four words as prompters. So even if you don't have anything with you, if you can remember the four words, you can jump into a conversation and share the basic gospel story about why we need Christ and why Christ came in the world using these four words. But on top of this, we've given you a couple resources. So when you came in, you should have gotten two things, this and this. Did you get these? If you did not, we need you to raise your hand because everybody in here needs these two things. So we got somebody back there helping us out. Tim, you in the room here? All right, so here we go. We're going to hand these out. Raise your hand if you didn't get them. We need to make sure everybody in here gets a copy of these two. One's a little booklet, one's just a little two-page card, okay? All right, so watch it. Here's the two things as you're getting them. This one here, little two-page little booklet, okay, that has those four questions that we just went over and these pictures we showed you on the front, okay? And on the inside of it, open the, like, take the one that's just like a two-page fold, open the inside of it, and you see the four words with a brief explanation of the words and some Bible verses that go with the words, okay? See that? So there's creation, fall, rescue, restoration. And on the back, it gives an explanation. If you want to believe in Jesus, here's how you do it, okay? This one is for you. Put it in your back pocket. Put it in your purse. Keep it in your car. It's something that you can have near you. The idea is that we're giving you a resource that will, because I get it, okay? Then you're like, what were those four words? I can't remember. I understand that, kind of. And so this resource is just a prompter for you to have always with you, where literally if you kind of, if the idea, like you're sitting down, you're freaking out, you can just pull this out and say, set this on the table with somebody and say, hey, let me walk you through this, that here's creation here. And you have the words, and kind of the prompters, the ideas in front of you. It's just a little card for you. We have a bunch of those. We bought a bunch. We want you to take them. If you think you need like six of them, one for your purse and one for your car, and you know, for those of you who are guys, one for your European carry-all, your man bag, whatever it is that you carry, you know, I mean, whatever it is that you need, like, throw it in your glove compartment, whatever it is that you need, grab this and keep it with you, okay? Now, the second item here is this story booklet, okay? This is more designed for you either to read along or to give to somebody. That literally the idea is you say, hey, I'm going to give you something. Would you mind just reading through this? And after you read through it, I'd love to talk to you about it if you want to. Okay, I'd love to have a conversation with you about what goes on in this book. Or you can sit down and literally, you want to have a more in-depth, deeper discussion, use the booklet and kind of read, talk through this whole booklet. But this is designed to leave with them, okay? And to have them share with you. Now, along with this, there are several other helps that are actually web-based. So you have the two of these things with you, okay? There are also several other things that are web-based. They actually have an amazing movie. And we'll talk about how you can get people to the movie in just a minute. But there is a movie. It's about a six-minute movie. And we're going to show it to you right now that explains this story. Okay? So watch the screen and check this out. So that movie, that video is available on their website. So it's thestorymovie.com. I think we have this in your worship folder this morning, thestorymovie.com. Or there's also spreadtruth.com, spreadtruth.com, which is two different websites. The Spread Truth has more of the helps and ideas, but that the websites can be super helpful. But one of the things that they have on thestorymovie.com is a page is /share, storymovie.com/share, or you can just click on the share link at the top of the page where they literally have a place where you can use your social media with this, okay? Or text, where literally they have different questions that come out of the story. One of them is, want to hear the real reason that Christmas happened? Click here. And it literally will post a picture with a link on your Facebook page or through your Twitter account and that kind of stuff, and you just send out tweets and Facebook posts with a link to this video. You just, like, you know, use that in your social media as you share to your friends and followers or whatever it is that you do. And so so there is a very good web presence with all kinds of helps, all kinds of ways to interact with this for you personally to grow more or to share it. And I may forget this. Whoops, it's in my European carry-all, which is in my closet. I don't have one. I'm making that up, okay? Just so you know. I may forget this. What is it that I always have with me, though? I always have my phone. Guess what? They have an amazing app. Amazing app for you, for me. I have it on my phone right here. I'm not going to be able to show it to you, but I do want you to watch this because we have a little video that shows you how the app works, and I'll talk to you a little bit about the app in just a minute. So check this out. You can get it in iTunes, Google Play. I know you can't see this, but literally it's designed to do two things. One is it's got some things to help you. So as you're trying to remember these phrases and get to know it better, you just use the app and sit with it. But it is also designed where you literally you set your phone on the table and just scroll through, and here's the questions. How did it all begin? What went wrong? Is there any hope? What will the future hold? Creation, here's the verses, the ideas. The fall, it's the same basic thing that this has, but in the app. And so you may forget this. You will have your phone with you. And if you download the app, you have that available. And it is another great resource. The goal is to get comfortable with a way where you just sit down and have a conversation. Ask the Holy Spirit to open opportunities to have real friendships. We'll talk more about that in the future. And share the gospel. That is our invitation. It is our calling, but it is also our invitation, the opportunity to be used by God. I will tell you that there are very few things in life that have equaled the joy of being in a moment where I found the opportunity to be faithfully obedient, to just talk to somebody about my faith in Jesus, and to see them at the end of the conversation say, I want Christ in my life, and to pray and repent of their sin and trust in Jesus. And I did not rescue them. God rescued them through Christ. But to be part of their story is such a huge blessing and joy. And it's something that I hope that we will all experience. So here's the one big challenge I have for you. You got this, okay? We will keep buying these all over and over and over again, but you got one, okay? Here's your take-home challenge for this week. Between now and next Sunday, would you be willing to share one of these, to take this, and these are out on the card, one of these, and give it to somebody? This is the story. This is our invitation to Christmas and Christmas Eve. Just take this, bake some cookies, put it in a Christmas card, take the one, at least the one that you have, and by next Sunday, have a story to share about what you did with yours. If you're in community groups and you have a conversation this week, have a talk in your community group about how you shared your story booklet and an invite card. My goal, my hope is that every one of us at least will take one of these and share it with somebody this week. Okay? Now, the other opportunity we always have at Christmas is as we're trying to share the gospel in Eureka. This is our call, our blessing. We also are participating in being gospel people to take the message of the gospel around the world. And we are always challenging our people during Christmas to maybe downsize the amount of gifts they buy and upsize the giving to our Advent conspiracy offering, to pray and ask God to lead you, to ask God to lead you to how much you should give. Every dollar that comes into our Advent conspiracy offering goes to partnerships that are overseas. We don't keep a dime of this. It all goes immediately out to taking the gospel around the world, okay? And so if you're already praying, great. If not, keep praying. We're going to show you a video, and then the band's going to come up and sing, and we're going to celebrate Jesus. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to show you this video to remind you about our opportunity to be part of the Great Commission through our faithful giving, and then we're going to sing to Jesus, who is the one who rescued us, right? He is the one who rescued us, and we give him praise. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for this opportunity to be here. We thank you for the good news of the gospel. Lord, help us be a people who have beautiful feet and find ways to share this message to our friends and neighbors and coworkers. Lord, I pray that you will be at work in the lives of all of us this week, that you will be at work and you will open our eyes to see where the Holy Spirit is already active and you are opening doors for these conversations. In your name I pray. Amen.